Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Beauty for Ashes with your host, Prophet Kyle T. Miller.
He gives beauty for ashes, strength for fear, gladness for mourning, peace for
Hello and welcome to Beauty for Ashes. I'm your host, Prophet Kyle Miller. The Bible says in Isaiah 61 and 3 that the Lord Jesus will give us beauty for ashes, an oil of joy for mourning, and a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Amen. So that means that no matter what trials, what tribulations, what situations that you encounter, God has always got a good plan for you, and he's working out good things in your life. Amen. Well, guys, I'm so happy to be with you for this broadcast. We're going to enjoy ourselves. And those of you who listened to my last broadcast, you know that we've been teaching a series on demons and deliverance, and I've called it Healing and Deliverance is the Children's Bread. Deliverance is the Children's Bread. And I'm going to talk a little bit about deliverance and how it manifests itself in our life and how God wants us to be delivered. And I'm also going to be praying some deliverance prayers, and I'm going to be, through teaching, explaining to you the manifestations of demonic spirits and how that all works and how that all operates so that you can identify the enemy. And then if there's areas of your life that need to be delivered, then you can be set free, amen. And so we'll be talking a little bit about that. I started teaching in our last broadcast, and I began to explain about Jesus and the ministry of Jesus and the situation that made Jesus' ministry unique from all other ministries prior to that is because every other healing, miracle, signs and wonder that we saw in the scripture, we had already seen the manifestations of those in the Old Testament with the prophets. You know, we saw Elijah, Elisha, Ezekiel, you know, who had visions, Elijah and Elisha, who had dramatic signs and wonders, Samuel, who functioned in strong prophetic gift and signs and wonders. Even David, you know, manifested many of the gifts of the Spirit. But the ministry that separated Jesus from all the other prophets, and this is what made Jesus' appearance so much more significant and different than that of the prophets, is that prior to Jesus coming on the scene, no one had ever seen the manifestation of deliverance. You know, prior to Jesus coming on the scene, no one had ever seen the manifestation of someone taking authority over demonic spirits. And so when Jesus came on the scene, he demonstrated and executed the power of God and demonstrated that we have authority over unclean spirits. So, you know, when Jesus was dealing with the spirits, he wasn't dealing with the people. He always dealt with the spirit. You know, he didn't deal with the people. He always dealt with the spirit. And so I'm going to start in Mark chapter 1, starting verse 23. Jesus dealt with the spirit in the man, not the person. And I'm going to read this scripture to you. And this is from Mark 1, starting at verse 23. Mark 1, starting at verse 23, and we're going to go to 27. And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out. So scripture talks about the unclean spirit. A lot of times when the scripture refers to demonic spirits, it'll say that it's an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know that thou art the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him. When he says him, he wasn't talking about the man. Jesus rebuked the demonic spirit. You know, he spoke to the spirit, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had tore him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of them. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commanded he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." So this scripture sets a precedent in sharing that when Jesus came on the scene, you know, prior to this, no one had ever seen anything like this where someone had authority over unclean spirits. And now Jesus comes on the scene, and we see that he has been given authority over unclean spirits. And we know later through the scriptures that then when Jesus sent out the 12 apostles, then he sent out the 70, then he sent out the 120, that he all gave them authority over unclean spirits. As a matter of fact, deliverance was part of the evangelistic package. You know, he says, go, lay hands on the sick, you know, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. You know, so Jesus, that was the formula that he gave them. He said, and then he said, and go ministering the kingdom of God. So Jesus said, you know, when you go out in evangelism, you share the kingdom of God, you minister to them, and you give them the authority, you've been given that authority over the unclean spirits. You go out and you minister in deliverance, healing, and evangelism. And so that's the whole evangelism package, is that we've been given that authority to seek it to save that who is lost, meaning, you know, salvation, lay hands on the sick on them for healing, and also to minister deliverance. Amen. And so this was the whole thing that set Jesus apart from all the other prophets, that prior to Jesus coming on the scene, no one had ever seen anyone who actually had authority over demons. You know, so that was a very, 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 very powerful thing that Jesus manifested. Amen. All right. So the Greek word, when sometimes the scripture refers to demons, the Greek word for it is actually called, it's hard for me to pronounce it. It's D-A-I-M-O-N-I-Z-O-M-A-I, demoniai, which means to be demonized. Okay, demoniai, demonized. So many times in the scripture when it says that they had an unclean spirit, or the King James really in this area did not, I guess you could say, translate the scripture as good as it could have. It did a pretty decent job, but it could have translated a little bit better, because really that word demoniai, it means to be demonized, you know, not possessed. You know, and oftentimes you'll see in the King James it refers to somebody, if they have a demon, that they're possessed. Okay, that's not really a good translation, because, to be possessed means to have ownership, you know. And this is where there's a lot of contention in the body of Christ as to whether Christians can you know, be possessed. Well, no, a Christian cannot be possessed. Possession means ownership. You know, Scripture says that, you know, that we have been blood bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we cannot be, a Christian cannot be possessed by a demon. However, a Christian can be demonized. You know, we talk about a tripartite being. You know, man is a spirit. You know, he has a soul, which is the mind, the will, and emotions, and it's encased in a body, you know, so it's a tripartite, three-part being. So the scripture says that when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that, behold, you know, old things are passed away, all things become new, that all things become new. That's the spirit man in us. The spirit man in us is conformed into the image of Christ, you know, because the scripture says, I think it's in Ecclesiastes, it says that when a man dies, the spirit of man immediately goes to be with the Lord. You know, that's talking about the regenerated man, the man who has received Christ as his Lord and Savior. However, we know in the book of Luke, when talking about the rich man and Lazarus, that Lazarus, you know, was in hell. Lazarus was in hell. So at that point, when we die, if we've given our heart to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, then our spirit man immediately goes to be with the Lord. However, if we have not received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then unfortunately our soul goes to be, our spirit man goes to be with the enemy. But saying all that to say is that it's the spirit man that is immediately recreated in the image of Christ. But we know that our soul and our body are in a process of being saved. You know, Scripture says it this way. It says, you know, let this engrafted word, I think it's in Hebrews, it says, let this engrafted word become a part of you which is able to save your soul. Okay, well, you know, that was actually a book of Hebrews, and that was a book of James. That was a book of James, and James was talking to Jewish Christians, Jews who had converted to Christianity. So if he's talking to Christians, why would he say that that they had to allow the word of God to become a part of them so it could save their soul when they had already received Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Well, it's because our soul is in a process of being saved, okay? That's our mind, our will, and emotions. That's why the Scripture says that we are to renew our minds by the washing of the water of the Word. You know, so we continually take in the Word of God and we allow the Scripture to renew our soul, which is our mind and our will and our emotions, so that our soul can come into this process of being recreated and aligned, you know, the same way that our spirit man is. That's why Apostle Paul said it this way. He says that the soul and the spirit are enmity with each other. They're enemies with each other. He says that my spirit man is warring with my soul. That's what Apostle Paul is talking about. He says, when I go to do good, evil is always there present with me. You know, that's what he was talking about. He said that there was this contention, there was this war between his soul, which was his mind, will, and his emotions, and his spirit man. You know, and that's why it's really important that we understand this whole concept about the tripartite being, about how our spirit man has immediately been conformed into the image of Christ when we receive Jesus our Lord and Savior, and that our soul is in a process of being saved. It's very important that we understand this, because especially when we're ministering with new believers, because a lot of times people will get saved and they'll wonder why they still have certain desires. You know, okay, I'm saved, but why do I still, you know, like to get drunk? Or why do I still like to smoke weed? Or why do I still, you know, like to fornicate? Or why do I, you know, still like to, you know, watch dirty movies? I don't know, whatever, you know, the hang up is, what's that pull, what's that desire? That's that soulish man. That's the you know, that's the mind, the will, and emotions that is in a process of being saved. And then you have the spirit, which is instantly saved at the point of salvation. You have the soul, which is in a process of being saved. And then you have the body. And the body, you know, the Scripture, we know our bodies are not saved, because the Scripture says, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. That's your reasonable service. Well, if our body was saved, then why would we have to present it as a living sacrifice? And I think most of us can attest to the fact that we know that our bodies are not saved, because our bodies will lay anywhere, lay with anybody, do whatever, you know, be with whoever. You know, so the body is also in this process of being saved, and the Scripture says that when Jesus returns, that we will actually receive a glorified body, which means that we will receive the glorified body in which the Lord initially intended us to be anyway. You know, Scripture talks about Adam and Eve when they were in the garden, that before the fall, they were actually clothed in the glory of God. They had glorified bodies. And then, you know, when Adam and Eve, they committed high treason and, you know, ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which God told them not to eat of, then the glory departed from them. And that's how they recognized and realized that they were naked. They never even realized that they were naked, because they were clothed in the glory of God. But when they committed sin, the glory departed. And then our bodies have now been in this process of working towards being re-glorified again. Amen? So you've got the spirit man, which is instantly saved. You've got the soul, which is the mind, will, and emotions, which is in the process of being saved. And then you have the body, which is, which, you know, basically we're now in a process of putting under submission, you know, through fasting and praying and crucifying our flesh to the point in time in which we receive our glorified body. So that's how a Christian can be demonized, okay, because the spirit man is instantly saved. That means, you know, if you die right now, you're going to heaven. I mean, because you've been, you've come into covenant with Jesus Christ. However, there's a soulless realm, and sometimes there's areas of our soulless realm that have not been conformed into the image of Christ. You know, and so that's why it's very important that we teach deliverance. That's why we teach deliverance, because sometimes when people receive salvation, they still have different areas. They have bondages that they're struggling with. And, y'all, that's why we should really should stay out of judgment with people, you know, because a lot of times we look at people and we say, well, if they were saved, why do they keep doing this? Or if they were saved, why are they still doing that? Well, it may be because that's an area of their soul that needs deliverance. They haven't, they haven't received deliverance. Now, I'm not talking about people who are in sin, and they're not even trying to get out of it. You know, those are people who are basically, that's what the scripture talks about in James, willfully sinning. I'm not talking about willfully sinning. I'm talking about, you know, you have an issue, you have a hang up, and you know that it's an issue that takes control of you. And, you know, you repent and you repent and you repent, and you find yourself still falling into that same cycle. You find yourself still committing that same sin. If that's the case, it probably means that you need deliverance. That's what I found out. If you have an issue or hang up, you can repent and you can immediately stop it. Then, you know, that's one thing. But if it's an issue that it's a hang up, it's a pull, it's something that you feel like oftentimes even compels you or controls you, or almost you even feel like it forces you to sin, then that's usually an area of demonization. That's some area where demons have infiltrated an area of your soul. And, you know, when you discover that, you just kick them out. You know, you just kick them out. And so, you know, when I began to start understanding deliverance, I found it to be extremely liberating. Okay, I want to read this scripture to you, and this explains why deliverance is so important. Because how many of y'all can remember the last sermon that you had on deliverance? You know, when's the last time you heard a message on deliverance? I mean, a lot of pastors, they don't preach it. They don't preach it, you know. I have started doing these prophetic phone calls, and basically it's where, you know, people sign up with me, and anywhere from 15, they sign up for either anywhere from 15 to 30 minutes. And I spend time with them, and, you know, the Holy Spirit moves, and these people are getting set free of all kinds of sickness and diseases. And, you know, a lot of it is manifesting itself in deliverance, you know, where actually literally over the phone, you know, the demons, they begin to manifest and talk and, you know, do what they do. And through the authority of Jesus Christ, I cast them out. And these people are getting set free of all kinds of sicknesses and diseases. You know, they're having all kinds of supernatural testimonies because they're getting set free. You know, and I'm gonna read this. This is from Luke 11, starting verse 14, and this is talking about Jesus, and this was Jesus, and he was out ministering, and it said he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb, and it came to pass when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. So in other words, Jesus was ministering to somebody who was deaf and dumb, and he recognized that was a demon. So he commanded that spirit to come out, and then when the spirit came out, the dumb man, he began to speak. He began to be able to talk. He was mute, but after Jesus cast the demon out of him, he could speak. And the people wondered, you know, and that's an issue a lot with deliverance. You'll find a lot of times people will get delivered from certain things, and they'll find themselves being able to do things that they weren't even able to do initially because it's a demonic spirit that's holding them in bondage, okay? So the people wondered, verse 15, but some of them said, he casted out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of devils, and others tempted him, sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils by Beelzebub, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall thou be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come unto you. And that's what I wanted to stress to you is that scripture right there when it says, therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come unto you. You know, now the scripture says it this way. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his way of doing things, and all these things will be added unto you. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. And so now here's Jesus. And he says that, you know, if you see me cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. So we see right there that what Jesus is saying is that basically healing and deliverance is manifesting the kingdom of God. So what is Jesus saying then? If he's saying seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, then what Jesus is saying there is that we need to be seeking to minister in the manifestations of healing and deliverance. And he says if we then seek and desire to move in the ministry of healing and deliverance, then God says all these things will be added unto us. You know, I wonder, maybe, you know, sometimes we concentrate too much, you know, on prosperity in the sense that, you know, and I'm not against prosperity, but the point I'm trying to make is we do a lot of teaching, you know, talking about money and how God wants us to be blessed and this and that and something else. But I think what this scripture is very clearly saying is that if we concentrate on the ministry of healing and deliverance, then Jesus says right there that all these things will be added unto us. So maybe we, instead of us teaching so much on prosperity, and I'm not against prosperity, y'all, but maybe instead of us teaching so much on prosperity, we need to be teaching more on the ministry of healing and deliverance, because the scripture says right here that if we manifest healing and deliverance, if we manifest and operate in healing and deliverance, then all these things, all the money and all the other stuff will be added unto us. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. So, and I just want you to understand that Jesus says it very clearly that when we operate in the ministry of deliverance, and when I'm talking about deliverance, I'm talking about casting out devils. When we operate in this ministry of casting out evil spirits, then Jesus said that the kingdom of God has come unto us. And the scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his way of doing things, and all this other stuff will be added unto you. So, you know, even when we looked at Jesus and in the area of evangelizing, you know, Jesus, he never sent the disciples out to evangelize without commissioning them to deal with evil spirits. You know, when we look at the 12 disciples, Matthew 10, 1 through 8, we look at, and then he sent the 70 out in Luke 10, 1 through 17, and both times he told them, he says, you know, go out, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, lepers, cast out demons, and declare that the kingdom of God has come unto you. So he told them to teach the kingdom of God, you know, heal the sick, and cast out devils. You know, so how is it that we can send people out and evangelize, and we don't even manifest deliverance? You know, Jesus, he never sent anybody out to minister without giving them authority over evil spirits. And then when we look at the Great Commission in Mark 16, you know, 15 through 17, and also in Matthew 28 and 19, both times he gave us the commission. He says, you know, you will speak in other tongues, you will lay hands on the sick and they will recover, and you will cast out demons. So that's all part of the ministry that we're supposed to be operating in. Is we're supposed to be ministering in the ministry of deliverance and casting out evil spirits. Now, You may say, well, Brother Kyle, I thought you were into prophecy. I want a prophetic word. I want you to speak into my life. And, you know, and that's fine. That's my calling, and that's what I do. But I had a very, very specific vision from the Lord a couple of months ago, and I mentioned it in my newsletter. I had an open vision. At night, I wasn't asleep though, but I was laying in my bed and I was just kind of sitting up, laying in the bed, and the Lord showed me a vision. And in the vision, I call it a vision because I was awake. I was not asleep. And in the vision, I all of a sudden, you know, I saw all of these cockroaches crawling on my right arm. And immediately when I saw the cockroaches, I shook them off of me. And as I shook them off and they began to fall to the ground, immediately when the roaches fell to the ground, they died. I mean, it was like as soon as I shook them off, they didn't even have time to crawl on the ground. As I shook, the roaches began to fall and they just fell to the ground. And I was like, oh, my God, this is what? I was like, okay, Lord, what is this? This is crazy. So I did a scripture analysis and searched the scriptures. You know, a lot of times when you have visions and you don't know what they mean, I strongly encourage that you look in the Bible to see if you can find scriptural examples, and then look in a dictionary, you know, to see what the dictionary says. And oftentimes God will show you what that dream means and what that symbol means by you looking in the scripture to find an example, and by actually just looking in a dictionary, just looking in a regular dictionary and finding out what that word means. You'll get incredible understanding and revelation about what that symbol is that you saw. So I did a scriptural study, and what I found was in one translation of the scripture in Job, you know, there's a scripture in Job, it's in Job 33, and it talks about how, you know, he was talking to Job, and then he was talking about, you know, how God has been given the authority to command the morning and to shake the wickedness out of the morning, you know, and that's a prayer that I pray a lot. A lot of times I pray, according to that scripture in Job, that the Lord will shake the wickedness out of my day, so that I have a good day. As a matter of fact, I'm gonna read that scripture to you, because it's a scripture a lot of people don't study, and it's a very, very important scripture. And it's in Job. I'm gonna pull it up. Yep, I'm sorry, I said Job 33. It's actually in Job 38 and 13. Job 38 and 13. Matter of fact, let's start at Job 38 and 12. He says, have you ever in your life commanded the morning and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth and the wicked be shaken out of it? Or the King James says it this way, that it may take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it. So he talks about, you know, commanding the day and then commanding that the wicked be shaken out of the day. Okay. And so one translation I found in the message Bible, it actually, that word wicked is translated cockroaches. And so I was like, oh my God. And so the scripture is saying, you know, that God basically, that he shakes the wicked out of it, out of the earth, and that he commands the morning and he shakes the wickedness out of it. And then we know that now through Christ Jesus, we have now been given the delegated authority to do the same works that Jesus did, because Jesus said, these works that I do shall you do, and even greater works. So now we have received through the kingdom of God, we have received delegated authority to operate in the same power, the same anointing that Jesus operated in, because Jesus said not only will we operate in his anointing, but we would do even greater works in him. So that scripture talking about, you know, command in the morning and shaking the wickedness out of, we've now been given that authority. So that's the scripture that I pray. So then when I looked and I saw that the Message Bible says, you know, that he's given the authority to command the day, and it says, and to shake the cockroaches out, you know. And so then I knew immediately what God was saying. And what he was telling me was, just as I was shaking those cockroaches off of my arm, God was saying that he was giving me an authority to shake wickedness off. He was giving me authority to shake wickedness off, or he was giving me an authority, he was giving me an anointing to manifest and minister deliverance to people. And so that's what the Lord was saying to me, because, you know, and I noticed it was my right arm typically symbolizes authority. And the roaches were on my arm, and I was shaking it off. So God was saying, Kyle, I've given you that authority to minister deliverance, to shake wickedness off. And it's something I've been seeing very, very strong, even in the prophetic phone calls and the prophetic counseling that I've been ministering to my partners. I've been noticing that a lot of the people now, when I pray, they're getting healed, you know, and they're getting delivered from all kinds of things that they've been dealing with for years, and we're seeing the manifestation of this healing and this deliverance right over the phone, not even me having to be there and lay hands on them, but actually through prophetic phone call conversations, I'm able to minister deliverance through the anointing of God, not my power, but through the delegated authority that God has given me. I've been given that authority to shake that wickedness, so to speak, shake that wickedness and minister deliverance to God's people. So that, you know, so the ministry of deliverance is very, very important. So like I was saying before, you know, Jesus gives the disciples the 70 and now us that same authority to minister deliverance. And he says, and to cast out demons or to minister deliverance. And then even Philip the evangelist, you know, some people say, oh, that was just the disciples. You know, people who believe in dispensationalism, they'll say, oh, well, that all ended when the last apostle died, you know, which is really bad doctrine anyway. For one thing, that's nowhere in the scripture. Those of you who maybe have come from Baptist doctrine or Lutheran doctrine and things of that nature, you probably have heard that teaching that, you know, all of the signs and wonders that are in the Bible, that all of that stuff has passed because, you know, Jesus basically enabled the apostles to do that so that he could establish the church, but that now it's not necessary for them to do that anymore because we have the Bible. But that's nowhere in the scripture. You know, and it says that, and they'll say that people believe in dispensationalism or what we call sensationalism, they'll say that all of these signs and wonders, miracles, healing, deliverance, this all ended when the last apostle died. But the only problem with that is, you know, in Hebrews, it says that Jesus was declared the first apostle and that he's now the apostle and bishop of our soul. So, you know, people say, you know, when the last apostle died, but the chief apostle is still living. Amen. You know, last I checked, you know, he came out of the tomb and he rose. And now he's given us that same authority. So Jesus is still living. So if the chief apostle is still living, I don't care about the last apostle who died. And if the chief apostle is dead, then, you know, we need to all pack it up and shut it down anyway. We're all in big trouble. So that doctrine basically does not hold any merit at all. But so you see another example in Philip the evangelist. He wasn't an apostle. He was an evangelist. And you know, and the Lord gave him the authority over unclean spirits. Matter of fact, let me go there. That's in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, Acts 8, starting verse 5. Then Philip, he went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Now, this is really important, you know, because the scripture refers to Philip as an evangelist, and the scripture says right here that they listened to what Philip said, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. So, you know, that's one of the anointings of the evangelist. You know, an evangelist should be operating in signs and wonders. You know, sometimes we call people an evangelist, you know, because they travel from church to church, or, you know, they lead people into salvation. And thank God for that. We know that salvation is the most significant ministry there is. But, you know, an evangelist is not just talking, but according to this scripture, if you're an evangelist, you manifest signs and wonders. Amen. Because the scripture says that they believe on Philip by seeing and hearing, you know, by seeing and hearing what he spake. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So, you know, so this whole ministry of deliverance is very, very important. Okay. So now that I've kind of set the scene for that, I'm going to kind of give you some examples. You may say, well, Brother Kyle, how do I know if I need deliverance? You know, how do I know that I need deliverance? Well, first I'm going to tell you a little bit about the nature of demons. The first thing you need to understand about demons is this. You know, demons are persons without bodies. You know, they're disembodied spirits. You know, the scripture says it this way. We referenced it earlier in Luke. It said that, you know, when the strong man has been bound and that unclean spirit has been cast out of the man, then it goes into dry places, seeking rest and finding none. Then it says, hey, I'm going to go back to my old body, see what's happening. And it says sometimes if it goes back and it sees that the house of that man is swept and clean and it's empty, then it comes back with seven other spirits worse than itself. So what is that? You're saying, well, Brother Kyle, that's confusing. What does that mean? Basically what that means is this. It's not just significant that we receive deliverance. When we minister deliverance or we get delivered from demonic spirits, it's not just significant that we get the spirit out, but that it's also significant that we also fill ourselves with the glory of Christ Jesus, that we receive Jesus and that we receive his glory to fill all of those vacant areas of that were once inhabited by the evil spirits. You know, so now, you know, with the revelation that the Lord has given me, I've realized even as I'm ministering deliverance, I've noticed that a lot of times, you know, the Lord will lead me, I'll cast out the unclean spirit, and then I'll ask the Lord to fill that area, whatever that area where that demonic spirit inhabited, I will ask that it be filled with the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so this is another thing that I feel led to share with you now. You know, there's a lot of pride concerning this stuff, you know, and let me share this with you. If you have pride, you know, and you're like, oh, I can't have a demon, I can't be demonized, I'm, you know, I'm this, I'm that, you know, then you probably have a demon. It's probably a demon of pride, you know, and, you know, I hear people say all the time, well, you know, everything is not a demon, this and that, something else, but the truth of the matter is most of the issues are, you know, and I've been functioning deliverance now for almost 20 years, and what I found is most anything that's a negative behavior manifesting in somebody is usually a demon. You know, I give some examples. You're in traffic, and you notice that whenever somebody cuts you off, you know, you start cursing and start making really bad expletives. You know, you probably need to be delivered. You probably have a spirit of anger. You know, or you find that, you know, just, you know, people say, oh, so-and-so really has a temper. That usually means that they're demonized. You know, somewhere along the way, something happened. They got really, really angry. And at the point that they got really, really angry, they gave the demon of anger the permission to come in and enter their soul. And so now they have a demon of anger. Give you another example. You love Christ. You love God. You know, you love God. You pray. You love him, but you can't stop looking at pornography. You know, you know, I would venture to say, and, you know, and so you watch pornography, then you stop, then you repent, then you ask the Lord to have mercy on you. You stop for a little while, then you go back to looking at it again. Then you repent, then you ask God to have mercy on you. You probably have a demon of lust. You know, you probably have a demon of lust. And usually what I found with that demon of lust is usually coupled with a spirit of shame. You know, so you probably need to be delivered from the spirit of lust. That's why you keep going back to those old sins, and it's almost like a compulsion. You can't stop yourself. Now, why do demons want to harass us? Well, for two reasons. One, they want to keep you from knowing Jesus as your Savior. So that's the first agenda of demons, is to basically keep people from getting saved. And then if the demon can't stop you from getting saved, then what the demon wants to do is to keep you from serving Christ effectively. You know, you have a lot of Christians that, you know, if they died, you know, they would go to heaven. They would go to heaven because they've received Jesus as the Lord and Savior. However, they don't live effective lives. Their lives are not effective. You know, they have these areas that are bound by the enemy, and they don't live effective lives. You know. Now, here's some characteristics of demons, and then we'll close for tonight. We'll open up the floor for questions, comments, whatever, concerns, prophecy, whatever. Here are some characteristics of demons. The first thing that the demons like to do, they like to entice, you know. So demons typically will entice us. And that's a lot of times how we gain, this is basically how we get demonized. It's through enticement. The demon entices us. So, for instance, you know, the demon comes and says, oh, you know, don't you want to know your future? You know, you need to know what your future says. And so, you know, one night you're at home and California psychics or 1-800 psychics or 1-900 psychics or the psychic network comes on and you're like, oh, wow, you know, I really want to know my future. And so you call the psychic line and you let someone who yields to familiar spirits, demonic spirits, tell you about your life, and typically what they'll do is tell you things from the past, because remember, a psychic can really never tell you anything about the future, because demons, they don't know your future. Now, demons, they can tell you, and see, this is where people get messed up. You know, they'll go to a medium, you know, and basically that the scripture refers to mediums as necromancy, and that's basically talking to the dead. And so people will go to a medium, and the medium will tell them, well, you know, you back when you were born in 1970, you had an uncle. His name was Uncle Joe, and Uncle Joe loved you, and Uncle Joe, you know, died of alcoholism. You know, and then you hear that, and then you start crying. Oh, my God, Uncle Joe, I loved Uncle Joe, and he died, and I miss him. And then you say, oh, wow, that's so accurate. Well, that medium is channeling, literally channeling demonic spirits, familiar spirits. And so, yeah, the medium can tell you that Uncle Joe died of alcoholism because they tapped into the familiar spirit of alcoholism that killed Uncle Joe. And, yeah, the medium can tell you that, you know, you were born in 1970 because there was a familiar spirit that followed your mother and has followed you that knows when you were born. You know, so all of that stuff is not really that exciting a revelation. Those are just mediums that are channeling and tapping into familiar spirits. And so, you don't get excited when some psychic tells you something about your past. Big deal, you know. Basically, all they're doing is just tapping into, you know, channeling and tapping into familiar spirits. So then, you know, these spirits, they then entice you to go to the psychic, you know, go get your tarot cards read, go get your tea leaves read, whatever the demonic manifestation, the spirit entices you to do that. And so then what happens? You go to the psychic. You know, you call 1-800 psychic. You get your tarot card done. You know, any of these. You go to the medium. You go talk to Jonathan Edwards or whatever medium. And then now, you've opened yourself up to another demonic spirit. Because when you go to a psychic, in essence what you're saying is, you know, God, I really don't think that you know my future. Or I really don't think you can tell me my future. So I'm going to go to someone who channels demonic spirits so they can tell me what to do. Or so they can tell me what's going on. And so when you do that, then you immediately open up your spirit to a demonic spirit and you're demonized. Some of you listening, I know that's a bitter pill to swallow, but I promise you, if you've ever gone to a psychic, if you've ever gone to a medium, if you've ever had your palm read, if you've ever gone to someone with a crystal ball, if you've ever gone to a seance, if you've ever played with a Ouija board, I would probably say 99.9% chance, unless you've gone through deliverance, you probably are demonized. And that's probably why, and that's the reason why you have nightmares. That's why, you know, there's such a strong spirit of fear on you and all these different things. Matter of fact, it's people, you're listening to me now and you're getting scared. And the reason why you're getting scared is because that's the demon inside of you. And I'm speaking truth, and the demonic spirit that's inside of you is getting scared because it knows that it's getting ready to get cast out. Because I'm going to cast it out. Amen. By the finger of God. And so those of you who are listening right now, because I feel the anointing of God right now, I have some more to teach, but we'll pick it up tomorrow, pick it up next week. But those of you, if you've ever gone to a psychic, if you've ever gone to a medium, tarot cards, Ouija boards, any of that stuff, I want to pray with you right now. And God is going to set you free. God's going to set you free. Those horrible nightmares that you've been having are going to end. Those demonic visions that you see are going to end. Some of you see little demonic spirits. You know, you hear their voices. They torment you. That's because your spirit has been opened up to the demonic, and God is going to set you free right now. Amen. So those of you that bear witness with what I'm teaching and you want to get set free, I want you to pray with me right now, okay? All right? We're going to pray, and you're going to get set free. All right, just repeat this after me. Just say, Heavenly Father. That's right. Say it out loud. Say it out loud. Heavenly Father, I thank you that Jesus was made a curse, that I could be redeemed from the curse. And so, Lord, I lift up my generational bloodline on both my mother and my father's side, going all the way back to Adam and Eve. And Lord, I repent for any areas in which my forefathers participated in witchcraft. Yeah, I just felt something break right there. Especially fortune telling, psychics, tarot cards, Ouija boards, and any other occultic power that accesses demonic spirits or familiar spirits. And so, Lord, I ask you to have mercy on me for these sins. Please cleanse me of this generational iniquity. And Lord, I ask now that every demonic spirit that's been harassing me and tormenting me, I command you to leave me now by the authority of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I repent for any areas in my life in which I consulted mediums, psychics, Ouija boards, tarot cards, or any other occultic power outside of you. Have mercy upon me. Forgive me, Lord, and cleanse me. And Lord, fill all the generational iniquity, all of the wounds in my soul, through generational iniquity and through my sins. Fill each and every one of those wounds with the blood of Jesus, with the glory light of Jesus Christ, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, the dunamis power of Jesus Christ. And I command all satanic spirits to leave me now by the authority of Jesus Christ. Amen. So I'm going to pray for you now. I don't want you to pray. I just want you to breathe in and out. And what you're going to find, usually I don't even get to this teaching until like the third or fourth lesson, but I got to go with the anointing. So what I want you to do is, you know, some of you, I don't want you to pray. I just want you to breathe in and out. And what you're going to find that as you breathe out, you're going to begin to notice that some other breath is going to be released out of you, and that's that demonic spirit departing from you. Some of you, you may cough, you may gag, you may vomit, you may cry, you may do many things, but just be led by the Holy Spirit, because it's better to get the evil spirit out of you than to contend with it, and then it doesn't come out. But I don't want you to pray. I don't want you to pray in tongues, because you know if you're praying in tongues and the spirit is trying to come out of you, the spirit can't cross Jesus, you know, because Jesus is the authority. So you got to let the spirit come out of you, and then we'll cap it off and refill you with God's spirit. Okay, so you just breathe in and out right now, and I'm gonna command those spirits to leave. Okay, so Satan, you heard the people. They do not want you anymore. You're their enemy. They want you to leave right now. So I command you to come out right now by the authority of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Every spirit of occultism, witchcraft, every hex, curse, incantation, false prophecy, lying spirit, word curse, I command you to loose the people right now. Loose them right now. Loose them right now. Loose them right now. Loose them. There it is. There it is. It's breaking. In Jesus' name, amen. And Lord, you fill every single area with your glory light. Fill every single area with your glory light, Lord. Jesus and Father, I say that the enemy will not be able to return. I build a hedge of protection around every single person right now. I build a hedge of protection around them, and I speak and decree that Nahum 1:9, that this affliction will not arise a second time in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you, you feel like your body is on fire. That's the Lord just cleansing you. Some of you, you feel lightheaded. That's the Lord. The spirits are just leaving you right now. Some of you are feeling a stirring in your stomach. Just go ahead and cough, and you'll find that there may be some discharge, or you may find that something may come out. That's okay. That's the spirit just leaving you right now. If you're feeling fear, take authority over that. That's Satan. Lord, we just bind fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And the scripture says that he has given us authority to trespass upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. Amen. So you have no reason to fear, because God has given you authority over every unclean spirit. Amen, amen, amen. So we'll pick up next week, and I'll begin to talk a little bit more about characteristics of demons, and then we'll talk more about how we can evict demons. In Jesus' name, amen and amen, amen, amen. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines and we'll talk to some of you. Thank you, Lord. 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 All righty. All right, caller, your last four digits, 7465.
Hi, Prophet Cal.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? I enjoyed
the
message.
Good.
I was calling in also for a word of direction on a possible move.
Okay. So you're debating whether to move?
Yes.
Okay, and what's your name? What's your first
Felicia.
Name? Felicia. Okay, so Father, we thank you, Lord, Felicia. Felicia, the Lord says, I'm going to uproot everything that can be uprooted, even even your dwelling. The Lord says, I'm moving you out. Yes, I am moving you out. God says, this is that confirmation. I'm moving you out because I need to put you in a new place. And God says, I need to change your surroundings. I need to uproot you from the old into a new way of doing things. God says that even some of your friends, I'm going to begin to sever the ties momentarily so that you can grow and blossom in me. And so the Lord says, you're going to see that change begin to take place. And God says that the doors, the floodgates are going to be open. And God says that my resurrection power is going to abide in you in a whole new way. For the Lord says, I'm going to give you a new boldness, and I'm going to give you a new pep in your step and a new power to endure and to persevere and to move through and to go forward. And the Lord says, even be selective on what you share with different people, because God says as you begin to discuss and talk about this move, God says that some will try to talk you out of it because basically they understand and perceive it as to how it will affect them. But God says it's not about them. It's about the divine purpose and plan that I have for you. And God says, I'm going to give you all that you need, and I'm going to give you all the resources that you need. And God says, I've made a covenant promise with you that I'm going to do it, and that settles it and that establishes it. So the Lord says, go forth and wonder no more whether this is what you're supposed to do, because God says, here it is, right here and now. I'm giving you that confirmation, and I'm letting you know that it's time to move and to pack up and to go, says the Spirit of the living God. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for Felicia and what you're doing in her life, and we thank you, Lord, for the divine manifestation of grace, and that she's going to have all the resources and everything she needs to move forward in what you've called her to. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. God bless you, woman of God.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, if this line will ever open, it's moving real slow. Okay, caller, your last four digits, 7463.
Hello, Prophet Cal. This is Fakira. How are you?
Hey, what's going on with you now? Are you still working?
Yes, well, I'm working for the elections right now. This temporary, but I have a teaching job. So,
good. Congratulations.
Yes, thank you. The question that I had, I'm just going to tell you that I used to speak to psychics before, but then I stopped because I realized it was like from the devil. So, forgave my sins and all that. But I have another question. I don't know if I can ask this, though. And then you can just tell me what God says about it.
All right.
If you don't mind. Okay.
Yeah,
it's like a situation with my car. It's like sometimes I have to force it to go into D, to move into D, driving D. It goes in gear, but like when it doesn't go in D, you have to start it all over from park in reverse, neutral, then D, and then it goes. And then so I don't know why does that happen. So maybe God knows the answer, and I pray to Him that He take care of it, because that never has happened. So that is my
want
to speak to God about. 2002. I just got this
car. Cause that's typically a transmission issue. What's happening is you're having an issue with your transmission shifting from one gear to the other. Sometimes that can be taken care of with if you go to one of your auto repair places like O'Reilly's, or I'm not trying to give a pub to anybody, or AutoZone, any of those places, tell them that you need this special transmission fluid that helps shift gears that get stuck. And it's kind of expensive. It's like maybe like $10 a bottle. And I would try that first before I would go to the mechanic. And it's an extra strong transmission fluid that will allow your gears to shift. And I would try that first. And then if that doesn't work, you probably need to get some repairs. But I know that from experience because I had that issue with my dad's truck. It was doing the same thing. And so someone had told me about it, and it helped the gears to shift.
Oh, yes, because it didn't come on the scanner, the transmission. We checked that. Me and the mechanic, he told me some liquid, Seashore, ADT, liquid or something, to put in the transmission fluid. But what's the name of the fluid that you told me? Can you repeat that?
I do not know. I tell you what, next time I go to the store, I'll try to go to the store by Monday, because I know it when I see it, and I'll email you I'll email you to let you know what the name of it is.
Yeah, well, I can, because I'm going to try something else, and then, I can try the stuff the mechanic told me, or I can just, But okay for that. Thank you for that. So I don't want to hold you up. And there anything else God wants to tell me about anything?
I just hear the Lord saying, "Prepare for a new ministry." I don't know what that ministry is, but God says, "Prepare for a new ministry." God says you're gonna find yourself doing something something that you never thought you'd be doing, but it's an area of ministry though, where you're going to be helping people. And God says, "Be get ready," because God says that you're going to see that happen real soon.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
God bless you. You're welcome. Bye-bye. Okay, caller, your last four digits, 4308.
Hi, Kyle. How are you?
I'm well.
That's good. I was actually seeking a word from the Lord.
Okay, who's speaking?
My name's Carrie.
Okay, Carrie. Father, I thank you, Lord, for Carrie and what you're doing in her life. And Carrie, the Lord says, divine understanding brings divine change. God says, you know, as the scripture says, beloved, but all things get understanding. God says, I'm about to do a download in your heart, and I'm gonna enable you to gain understanding, something you've really been trying to figure out. And God says, now that I've got you at this point where you're seeking me, you're going after me, God says, I'm gonna give you that understanding. And God says, it's just gonna open up to you. God says, you'll be in prayer, you'll be in meditation, and God says, I'm just gonna show it to you, and you're gonna be like, oh wow, okay, is this what it was? And God says, it's just gonna become a lot clearer. Clear to you, clarity in this season. God says also, too, it's time to take some bold moves. There's some other things that he's told you about, and you've been like, I'm waiting on God. But God says, I've already given you the commission, so now it's just time for you to move forward in it. And the Lord says, you know, remember, it comes bit by bit, little by little, precept upon precept. And so You start out in the revelation of the knowledge that you have, and just moving forward in that, then God says, then I'll reveal the next portion of it. And then from there, I'll reveal the next and the next. But God says, it's as you just take those little baby steps, God says, then I'll get you where you need to go. God says, you know, don't wonder. And God says, don't even be concerned about failure, because God says that when you move out into it, it's going to succeed because I've already commissioned it to take place. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for Carrie. I thank you, Lord, for the manifestation of faith and grace, and that your glory is just covering her like never before. And I thank you for it. Thank you, Lord, for a new passion, new dedication. Just newness, Lord, like as your word says, behold, I do a new thing. I thank you that you're doing new things in care, and you're opening up doors, new doors of possibility, new doors of grace. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you for that. Yes, I have been seeking understanding about a lot of things, just in general, in the spiritual sense, but also I've been struggling financially for over 3 years now. And that has been a very, very hard thing for me to go through and to try to understand, you know, what he's doing and in all of this and what I need to be doing. And so I've really struggled in that area too.
Let me ask you something. When you said like 3 years ago, was there anything significant that happened to you, prior to this? Okay, what happened?
Three years ago, I went into work that day, and around noon, the boss came in and said that was my last day. So it was very unexpected, and I was laid off for 21 months after that. And then I got a job elsewhere that was only part-time for about a year, and now since April of this year, I'm finally up to about 38 hours a week, but it's not enough, and I've got so much ground to cover from all that time. I mean, I need a financial miracle. I mean, really, that's what I need.
Yeah. I know what's going on. So, because I've been ministering to a lot of people in this area, and God's really been moving. Okay, so what happens is, okay, we have these setbacks, and then in the midst of it, the enemy comes in, and he allows our souls to become wounded. So then our souls become wounded, and then the breakthrough is not able to manifest itself like God wants it to. So what I've been doing is praying with people and asking God to come in at that area of trauma, like which in your situation would be at that area where you were unexpectedly fired, and then ask God to heal that area. And then also ask that person that if there's any areas in their life, you know, where, you know, there may be unforgiveness or even hurt in that area, that those areas be released. And then ask the Lord to heal those areas of the soul with his glory. And then we ask for the manifestation of God's supernatural power increase. And then usually what I've been seeing is usually like within 3 weeks to a month, they begin to start experience breakthrough. Some of it's instant, some of it, but usually it's like between that time period they begin to start experiencing breakthrough. So I'll be happy to pray with you now. And
absolutely. So go right ahead.
So you can move forward in it. So, because I haven't taught all the details on some of it, you'll just have to pray in faith, but that's okay. You'll still see the manifestation of it. So just repeat this after me. Just say, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I thank you. That my Lord Jesus Christ was made a curse. That I could be redeemed from the curse. And so, Lord, I present to you that situation when I was wrongly terminated. When I was let go. Under wrong terms.
Under wrong terms.
Unexpectedly. And Lord, I lift that area up to you. And I release my supervisor.
And I release my supervisor.
I release that company. And everyone involved. For wrongly and unjustly terminating me. I release them and I forgive them. And Lord, every area of my soul. That has been wounded. As a result of this situation. I lift it up to you. And Lord, I apply the blood of Jesus. To every single one of these soul wounds.
to every one of these, every single one of these soul wounds.
As it relates to me losing my job.
As it relates to me losing my job.
And Lord, I ask right now.
And Lord, I ask right now.
That you would fill every single one of these areas.
And Lord, I ask right now that you would fill every single one of these areas.
With the glory light of Jesus Christ.
With the glory light of Jesus Christ.
The resurrection power of Jesus Christ.
The resurrection power of Jesus Christ.
The dunamis power of Jesus Christ.
The dunamis power of Jesus Christ.
And I receive your glory now.
And I receive your glory now.
There it is. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank
you. I receive your prosperity.
I receive your prosperity.
Now.
Now.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Okay. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
So, Heavenly Father, you said in your word, you know, behold, send prosperity now. Father, I thank you, Lord. I release this woman from every spirit of Python that would try to choke out her finances. And Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that she's being filled right now from the top of her head to the soles of her feet with the glory light of Jesus Christ. Every spirit of Python that would try to hinder the prosperity from coming to her, I release it now. And Lord, all of the riches that have been tied up, Lord God, we release it now because Father, you said, beloved, you said that you would. You would give us your riches in glory, and now she resides in your glory, and so the riches are now coming to her, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for that manifestation of grace, of healing right now, and that you're bringing it to her, Lord. And I thank you for a supernatural divine increase in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Man, I know God is moving because I'm feeling the heat. I can feel
oh,
it heat on my
that.
Back right now. Amen.
Yeah, that's because I love to give, and that's been one of the hardest parts of this is that I'm still tithing and still giving, and I serve you know all the time at my church and elsewhere, but I just have not been able to give to others like I used to, and that's been very hard because that is so much in my heart because I love to do that. And I just can't, and I haven't been able to. So I look forward to that. Besides all the other, I really look forward to doing that.
Yeah, God is bringing that. God is bringing you even more favor too. You're stepping into a new dimension of favor. God says you're gonna begin to start seeing people are gonna be moved to just start giving to you, and you're gonna find people just walking up giving you money, and people saying, you know, God put it on my heart to give this to you, and I wanted you to have this, and all kinds
of
miracles.
I've already had some of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've already experienced some of that. I had my aunt and uncle got a new car and gave me their old one because my engine was shot. So, you know, that was about a year ago. So, I mean, I have had that already. Otherwise, I would be hurting worse than I already am. So, I mean, I've seen God move. I know he can do it. And that's why I'm holding on. So, I mean, people have told me just file bankruptcy and be done with it. And I just don't feel that's what God wants me to do. So I'm really trying to hold on to not doing that. So.
No. And Lord, we thank you even for the restoration in all the areas of her credit as well. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
All right.
Well, thank
you
very much.
Keep me posted and let me know as God begins to increase you. Because he is, keep me posted so so we know what's going on.
All right, I will do that.
All right, God bless you.
All right, thanks, Prophet Kyle, I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye bye.
Bye.
Hello, caller 1799.
Hello.
Hey, how are you doing?
Hello. I'm fine.
Hey.
This is Catherine.
Hey, Catherine. How you doing?
I'm fine.
Good. Did you enjoy the teaching tonight?
The whole time you was teaching, all I heard was old and new. My old is my past, and my new is my future. The whole time
Amen.
You was teaching, all I heard was old and new. So I said, oh, Okay, Lord, thank you.
Praise
God. I know my past has got to be erased, and my future is coming up soon. Real soon.
Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Did you have any questions for the Lord, anything?
No, that God keeps directing me, and day by day let me know what I should do, because I was thinking about taking this prophetic class just for, I want it, just because I want to take it, but I want the Lord to manifest the finances, so I won't put myself in a hole.
Amen, amen. Well, how much is the class?
That's $452, I think.
Okay, okay. So let's
pray. I don't want to go.
You don't
want
to go into debt.
Yeah. So I'm debating on waiting to save the money to do it, or a guy open the door for me to do it. But for God, all I want to know is for God to give me direction on what to do.
Okay, so Father, well, I think that if it's a desire of your heart, I think that he'll give you the money for it. You know what I mean? And it'll be something to where it's not a strain, you know, but
mm-hmm.
it'll be something that's comfortable for you. So we'll just pray for the money and then let God manifest it. So Father,
okay,
we just thank you, Lord, for this $450. We just lift it up to you. We send forth your angels to go get the money. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you supply all of Catherine's needs according to your riches and glory. And, Lord, I believe this is your will for her to take this class. So, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you're going to manifest the finances and that it's going to manifest quickly, Lord, so that she can get into the class. Because, Lord, we know that you have gifts and callings for her. And so, Lord, we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you. I receive it.
Amen. So it's done.
All
well,
right.
Thank
Amen.
Thank you so much for your support of the ministry. I appreciate your prayers and everything.
Oh, you're welcome.
Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for your prayers and your ministry.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Bye-bye.
Have a great night.
You too. Okay, next caller, 9479.
Hello, God bless you.
Hey, God bless you.
Yeah, I've been touched by today's program.
Oh,
it's been a blessing.
Awesome.
You know, I would like direction on what my next step should be in my life. I just want to pray about that.
Okay, what's your name?
My name is Willie.
Willie, okay. Willie, first thing, as soon as I heard your voice, I heard the Lord saying you're going to go back to school. So I don't know if that's something you've been thinking about, but God says that it's time for you to get back in school. God also says that he's working some things out in your life. You had this situation recently, and there were some challenges that came as a result of it. And so now God is saying, you know, you just bring it to me and that I'm going to work it out for you. God says that, you know, you looking at it in your own, it almost seems overwhelming, but God says it's not overwhelming to me. God says I can deal with it, you know, instantly. So God says just say, okay, Lord, I'm casting this care upon you. God says I'll work that out. And then God says, watch and see if I bring you into a better place than you were before. So, you know, it's not like you're going to have to take a step back or downgrade. But God says, actually, through this whole thing, by you giving it to him and allowing him to handle it, it's going to actually work out better. You're going to be in a much better place. And the Lord says also, too, just schooling. You know, there's some schooling in place. I see you going back to school. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for Willie. I ask, Lord Jesus, that you surround him with favor as a shield, that you compass him with favor as a shield, and that the doors of opportunity are just breaking out in his life in every form and fashion. And we praise you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen, amen. Hey, thanks, Willie. Thanks for listening, too.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, and I think I may have forgotten to mention, but if you received a prophetic word tonight, you can actually go to two places. You can either go to my website, and under the media section, just click on the Blog Talk Radio, and it'll take you to the page, and then you can download the show, or you can go to the Blog Talk Radio and search my name, Prophet Kyle T. Miller, and find my show that way. Or you can do www.blogtalkradio/Prophet Kyle T. Miller, and there you can go to the Blog Talk show, and you can actually download the show and, you know, have the prophetic word, you know, on recording. So, all righty. I think I'm going to do a couple more, and then I'm going to go to bed. Caller, this is Prophet Kyle, 8459. You're on the air.
Hi, Prophet Kyle. This is Wendy. How are you?
Hey, Wendy. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. I was calling for a word, and also for you to pray for my two sons. They're going to be going back to school on the 29th.
Who's going back to school?
Two of my sons going back to school.
So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for Wendy. Wendy, the Lord says that I'm shaking everything out of your life that can be shaken so that I can get you to where I want you to be. God says I'm removing the distractions, and I'm causing your focus to become laser sharp. God says that look for the Lord says look for your home situation to be taken care of. God says there is elevation upgrade in that area. I know from some of our prayers in times past that one time you were looking for a home. God says that but now Lord said by revelation that now that time is coming where I am going to move you. God says a door is about to open up for you. The Lord says also to look for change in ministry. God says okay, this is interesting. God says, I'm going to, I hope you understand this, but God is saying, I'm going to place you in another stream. So what the Lord is saying is that, you know, your ministry and who you've been fellowshipping with and ministering with, God says, now I'm about to put you in another stream. You're going to be flowing with another group of people. And doing other types of ministry and flowing with another group of people that you had not even considered. But God says you're going to go to a meeting, and then from there you're going to meet some people, and then you're going to start fellowshipping with them, and you're going to find yourself in this new move of God that's going on in your area. And God says you're going to be in the middle of it. And so, Father, I also lift up Wendy's sons. I thank you, Lord, this new school year is being embarked. The Lord, they're being covered by your spirit, and that they're going to just do really, really well, Lord. They're going to excel academically and socially, Lord, and this is going to be a really, really good school year. We also speak and decree divine protection upon them, Lord. And so, Lord, keep them away from the kids that they should not engage with, and connect them with the children that will support them and nurture and respect the gifts and talents that are within them. And so, Father, we thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, and thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, for tonight, I'm going to pick this 901 number. It's near my hometown of Memphis, 6044. Hello?
Hi, Prophet Cal. This is Dee.
Hey,
Dee,
how are you?
Prayer in general.
Okay, so anything specifically, or you just want to hear what?
Well, there's a lot of things out there, things about potential mate, you know, work, and then my sons. So, you know, I was just wondering what the
Father,
Lord has to say.
Sure. Father, we thank you, Lord, for Dee and what you're doing in Dee's life. Dee, the Lord says, I'm causing you to move to higher ground. God says, don't get caught up in the chitter-chatter or what other folks are saying. God says, I've redeemed you and I've pulled you out to bring others out. And God says, I'm causing your words to carry great weight spiritually. And also, I'm putting you in a place where you're going to begin to have more influence. God says it's like somewhere where you're working or somewhere where you have interactions. It's like, you know, you get these ideas and it's like you bring them to people, and it's like because that it's almost like because it doesn't come from their desk. They're not interested in it. It's like all they want to do is purport and advocate their own interests. So when you present things, a lot of times it's not even respected or listened to. But God says, I'm going to allow your words to begin to have weight and influence. And God says, if they won't get in line with the word, then I'll move you somewhere else where what you speak will be respected. Because, you know, Lord says that you have a lot of ideas and you have a vision. You know, God says that you're a visionary and you're one of these type of people where you can see things afar off and you can plan stuff and you know, and then you get these ideas, and sometimes you share ideas with people and they don't get it because all they can really see is a here and now. And God says you've really been given that grace where you're a visionary type person. So Lord says one of the things that he wants you to begin to also do is, you know, if you're not keeping a journal, to begin to start writing down different stuff that he shares with you. And God says as you write these things down, it'll be a pattern of how you can assemble your thoughts. And then as you assemble your thoughts, then it'll be a pattern for how you can assemble your prayers. And then as you assemble your prayers, God says you're going to begin to start seeing the manifestations of these things come to pass, because there's a supernatural power in you writing down what it is that God shares with you. So God says, you know, that pen and paper, so to speak, is going to become your best friend, because God says so often as you're just sitting there being quiet before me, God says, I'm going to give you the idea, I'm going to give you the strategy, I'm going to give you the way in which you can do things. You know, the Lord is basically saying, you know, all the answers are within. You know, God has already put the answers within you, and it's just about you allowing yourself to be quiet before the Lord. And God says, I'll give you the direction on what you need to do and how you need to do it. So, Father, we just thank you for that. Lord, I ask that you just surround her with people of like precious faith. I ask, Lord Jesus, that you just allow the things that are within her, the visions, the dreams, the ideas, to take place and manifest themselves. You know, because what I just keep hearing Lord say is that you're an ideas person. You know, you're like this person. You know, we may say, well, how can I do this? And God says you'll have like five different ways to do it, five different ideas. Well, you could do this, or then you could do this, you could do that. And God says that's a gift. You know, that's a gift. Mm. And some people don't value it, but that's okay. Mm. But God says, I'm going to put you around some people who will, you know, who will value what's inside of you. And so, Father, we thank you for that. Thank you. Jesus.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Thank you. It's confirmation.
Amen. You're welcome. You're welcome. Just be encouraged. Keep doing what you're doing. And God says it's going to pay off.
Praise God. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. All right, good people. Well, I love you all. I tried my best to get to everybody, but unfortunately I did not. So if I did not get a chance to minister to you tonight, just call in next week, and I promise I will do do my best to go through as many calls as I can. If you would, also keep me in prayer. I've got a few things coming up. I will be ministering in Memphis at Pastor Ken's church. And I should have, let me get the name of the church so that you can actually go on my website. It's prophetkyle.com. If you go over to the itinerary section, kind of tells you what's going on. But I do want to let you guys know that way. If any of you guys are in the my website acting crazy. Okay, yeah, here it is. If you go to in the itinerary section, there's a calendar. And because I want to get this to you since this will be in a couple of weeks from now, I'll be at the Dwelling Place Church, which is in Memphis, Tennessee, with Pastor Ken Tony. You can go to Dwelling in Him. That's dwellinginhim.org. Go to Dwelling in Him. Find out more information. But I'll be preaching two services, the Sunday morning service at 10 a.m., and then there'll be a 6 o'clock service. And morning service, I'm not sure what's going to happen. I'm going to check with Pastor and see exactly what he may want me to minister on. And then that evening service, I'll be teaching on prophecy, gifts of the Spirit, laying hands on people for the activation to release the gifts of the Spirit in their life and things of that nature. And just be basically a prophecy clinic. So if you, any of you all who are in the Memphis area, you live close to the Memphis area, I definitely think it'd be worth your drive. There's no registration fee. Everything is free. So all you got to do is just get in your car and drive and come see me. And I always love it when I can come in fellowship or you guys can come in fellowship with me, because it kind of, you get the opportunity to put a name with a face and see who I am and see that I'm a real person, not just somebody that you hear my voice or you see my newsletter. So if you would, check that out. Also, too, if you have not sold the $80 seed for the 8 new beginnings for August, I strongly encourage you to sow that seed. When you sow the $80 seed, you receive a 30-minute prophetic conversation with me where we'll pray together. God will speak prophetically into your life, record it. You'll receive an audio recording of it. And then after I prophetically minister into your life, whatever questions that you have for the Lord, you can ask them, and God has been really, really gracious. Been seeing God really move in a lot of awesome ways. Had one partner, she sold the $80 seed, called in, and now is this a new beginning or what? She had a house that she had purchased, and then she got a new job in another city. She couldn't sell the house, but she had to move, so she was basically paying mortgage in two cities, where she's living now and then where she used to live. And she could not sell the house. She tried to sell the house for 13 years. So now, here it is, God is telling her to move again. And she's like, oh, it's no way that I can go to my next city still paying a mortgage and a house that I'm not even living in. And so she sold the $80 seed for the prophetic phone call. And we began to pray and seek the Lord. And as we were praying and seeking the Lord, God opened up my spiritual eyes, and I saw a pentagram, and I saw it like in the back of a house, and I saw a pentagram, and so I knew what the Lord was saying, that basically there was some type of witchcraft that had gone on in that house. So I asked her, I said, ma'am, can you tell me about the people who lived in the house before you moved into it? And she said, oh, they were these people that they did meth. And they really, the house, you know, went into foreclosure. That's how I purchased the house. But they were really mad because they were forced to move out of the house. Well, the Holy Spirit basically told me that those people who lived in the house, you know, before she moved in, the house she couldn't sell, that basically they had put a curse on the house and they had declared that the house, you know, they said, don't let the house sell. And so there was a curse that was still on the house. And so I told her, I said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to send me a copy of the mortgage of the house, and I'm going to pray over it, and God is going to break that curse. And so she faxed me the mortgage. The next day I prayed over it, because the Lord told me in 3 days that the curse would be broken. I prayed over it, and literally within 3 days, she got an offer on the house, and a week later, can you believe it? Somebody paid cash for the house. Not only did the house sell, but it was actually sold and bought and paid for within a week's time. Can you believe that? So, you know, it's been all kinds of miracles. You know, somebody was struggling with diabetes, and we prayed on the phone, through the prophetic phone call with the $80 seed. They went back to the doctor and found that they had been healed of diabetes. Had another woman that was dealing with panic attacks, and she sold the $80 seed. We had the prophetic phone call conversation. God revealed to me the root of the anxiety, and she said that night she slept like a baby. It was the first time that she had slept that well in like over 3 years. I mean, so it's just amazing things that God has been doing with that seed. And what I've been telling people, if you don't have an $80 seed, then just sow something with eight in it. So if you sow $8, or you sow $28, or you sow $38, something with the eight symbolizing new beginnings. August is the eighth month, which is new beginnings, and sowing that seed of faith to say that you're sowing into a new beginning in your life. Amen. Well, I love you guys so much, and I look forward to coming back with you next week, and we'll talk more about deliverance is the children's bread. Good night.